This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Coming up on Columbia Calling with me, your host Richard McCall, here in Bogota, we'll be talking to Lorena Wasserman, an Argentine specialist in the tourism agency. She's been based here in Colombia for some years, and she's a capacity builder and an expert giving lectures and producing materials to improve the tourism industry here in Colombia. So don't miss out if you're interested in this. We'll be talking all things Colombia with Lorena Wasserman on Colombia Calling, coming up later today.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and it's me, your host, Richard McCall, here on Columbia Calling, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. We're into Semana Santa. That's right, Easter week is upon us, perhaps one of the most important holidays, festivals here in Colombia, you know, very important to the Catholic Church. I'll be heading up to Mompo shortly for, you know, to be there to, you know, run the La Casa Maria Hotel in this high season while the town is being flooded with visitors and tourists and Momposinos returning home to take part in this very famous celebration. We have processions that start at 5 o'clock in the evening and it go on until 5 a.m. Can you imagine that in a heavy tunic in the sweltering heat of Mompos? I think they're only rivaled, these processions, by those of Popayan. So I've never been to Popayan, so maybe someone can call in and tell me what they're like. So anyway, yes, Colombia's poor infrastructure is going to be, you know, chock-a-block in this week as everybody leaves Bogota. You can already see that the people are exiting the city. In fact, several days ago, you could see that people were starting to leave and taking extended holidays, you know, adding on sick days and leaving, going off to the family finca, going back to the hometown. Bogota feels empty. So for those of you still in Bogota, it's actually a nice time to be here because traffic is not so bad, people are not so tense, and the restaurants, you can always get a seat. Anyway, so yes, that's it. I'll be off in Mompos for Semana Santa. I want to just say in the next couple of weeks, we've got a few interesting chats coming up. But first, we're going to be talking to Lorena Wasserman, who is an Argentine here in Colombia. We're talking to her today about tourism infrastructure and how to build on the tourism growth here in Colombia. She is an expert in the field and gives lectures to Pro Export and other sort of agencies out there. So it's a very great pleasure to have someone of such a notable success in tourism here on the show. So we're talking to Lorena Wasserman, our first Argentine on Columbia Calling. And we've been going for just about a year now, and that's the first time we've had an Argentine talking. So they're very exciting, and we're looking forward to this chat. Next week, we're going to be talking to Wesley Tomaselli. Wesley is a journalist from the United States, from a small town in upstate New York. Anyway, he's been here for a little while. He makes ends meet, but he's a jobbing journalist for for things in the energy markets and economic markets. So it's very interesting. We'll be looking forward to a chat with him. And then after that, I think in 2 weeks' time, it'll be time to have Kevin Howlett, three-time interviewee, back on the show to give us a little bit of a brief about the politics of what's going on here in Colombia, because obviously it's an election year, May 25th, the presidential elections. And so I think we need some hardcore politics in a couple of weeks on Colombia Calling. So what else has been going on? Well, I have a little anecdote. Is the other day I'm at one of these big man, I'm a man child. I've got my stickers for the World Cup sticker album, for the Brazil World Cup sticker album. I finished Colombia. I haven't finished England yet. So if anyone has some extra England stickers, let me know. We went to a pub up in the Parque de la 93, which is a very well-heeled section of Bogota, very, very exclusive. The pub is called London Calling. It's a chain, but decent pubs, decent pints. Anyway, we were a bunch of expats and Colombians, and one of the Colombians actually ended up being robbed in the pub itself. Some guys came in and they sort of sat at the table next to us and pretended that they were, participating. They were having a chat, et cetera, et cetera. Without any of us, there were about 10 of us there, without any of us knowing, these Colombian gentlemen were able to take the wallet out of our friend's pocket, remove the cash, and then return the wallet to his pocket. So there were 9-10 of us there. None of us noticed anything. Now, the Colombian who was robbed noticed quite quickly, he checked his wallet for something or other and noticed there was no cash in it, went running out and, spoke to the police and so on and so forth. And within an hour, the guys were caught. The thieves were caught because they're known to the police in the area. They're a gang that go around in the Parque de 93 entering these places, sort of feigning drunkenness or feigning that they're participating, like just regular patrons in a pub. Anyway, so they were caught I don't know if the money was returned or anything like that. They were caught in a car along the Carrera Once with a whole bundle of cash there. And the police then said, you could claim that more was robbed from you. And of course, we're asking why. Well, if you don't claim a certain amount, we can't imprison these thieves. We can't actually sort of process them. At the moment, we know that they've stolen 150,000, so roughly 75,000 pesos from this gentleman. And with this amount, we can only just sort of keep them in the police truck overnight or in a holding cell overnight, and tomorrow they'll be released. But of course, it's a massive headache for the police. They know who these people are. They know what they do. The thieves themselves know that they can't be tried because the figures are so small. The numbers are so small. So it's just this perpetual problem. I mean, that you've got the police almost encouraging you to commit a fraud. So is it? It will, enable their job and facilitate their job. I mean, this is a very strange situation. It's just one of those vicious circles. So you can't have them processed and then, sort of arrested. They will be held overnight, and then they'll be out again on Saturday night to do it all over again. And the police will capture them, and they'll get away with it. And so it's just this never-ending sort of cycle of events that doesn't allow us to progress. Anyway, I'll just leave that with you. It's just a little anecdote for the time being. The next anecdote I have, and I will write about this in one of my blogs or one of my articles or editorials in the future. So I was lining up in the banks, and one of the things I hate in the banks are the exclusive queues. And, for those for who have a bank account or et cetera, or more than a billion pesos, they get to queue in a faster line, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so I was in Banco de Bogotá, and there was about 10, 15 people in the line, and there was no one in the sort of priority lane. And there was upper-class Bogotano gentleman striding forward in the priority lane, and then wanted to, went striding straight up to the teller and said, and the teller went, "Well, excuse me, I'm just going to attend to a couple more people in the regular line." The Bogotano turned, looked at everyone, went, "El mundo está al revés." The world is in reverse. So anyway, again, a little anecdote for you. I've got to mull this over in my head to wonder how I'm going to incorporate this into an opinion piece. But just a couple of sort of Colombianisms for you to mull over before we get together in the next segment, coming up in a few short minutes with Lorena Wasserman, an expert in the tourism industry here in Colombia. Now, get in touch. We have a website, that's ColombiaCallingRadio.com. We're on Twitter, that's @ColombiaCalling. And you can email us, ColombiaCalling@gmail.com. I'm Richard McCall, this is Colombia Calling, and we'll be right back with Lorena Wasserman.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com. Your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're talking about tourism. Well, tourism in Colombia, because of course it's a Colombian show. So we're going to be talking to Lorena Wasserman, who is an Argentine here. She's from Buenos Aires. I know it's important to establish where she's from, but she's from Buenos Aires. She's been here in Colombia for 4 years, and she's an expert in the tourism industry, giving conferences on tourism, working for agencies, studying the hotel industry and so on and so forth. So we're just going to talk about, basically an open conversation about tourism in Colombia. So welcome on the show, Lorena.
Thank you, Richard.
Now, listen, Lorena, you arrived here 4 years ago. Let's just start with this. In the 4 years that you've been here, how have you seen the tourism industry changing? Or have you seen it changing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely, yes. Well, when I arrived here, I think it was like 2010, so I can compare it to the situation we had in Argentina, like in 2002. That we had a lot of people, a lot of tourism, that the people who wanted to come to Argentina, but there was nothing here. Mm-hmm. So I can compare that to the situation in Colombia in 2010, that tourism, people wanted to come here, but people were not prepared mm-hmm. to have them. So I think there was an evolution in these 4 years. And thanks to the government in part, and thanks to the private sector as well.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's always come to light, is that Bogota, it's always comes in as the most visited city in Colombia, but it was really because of the absolute necessity of landing mm-hmm. here on an airplane. And yet there was no infrastructure for tourism whatsoever. Okay, we can go to the Gold Museum. You can walk a little bit around the Candelaria. And there are, a couple of international level hotels. But even as recent as 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it was really lacking. So, I mean, what would you say then the government has been doing here in Colombia to improve this?
Well, the thing with Bogota is that it's a corporate destination. People come here from Monday to Friday. So the problem, I think, is that Bogota or the government, or I don't know who, or maybe even the private sector, they didn't know how to develop tourism mm-hmm. and to invite people to stay. Because, for example, I compare it to Buenos Aires, that it's a corporate destination as well, but during the weekend is full because people take advantage to the fact of being during the week to go back with their families, etc. Here, you ask people, what can I do in Bogota? And they tell you, go to Zipaquirá, yeah. Nemocón, Guatavita. That's it.
So they're telling you to leave Bogota.
Yes. Well, but that's the same things that Bogotans do. I mean, when the weekends arrive, they are looking for places to go. Well, in fact, I was working in a project to develop tourism in Sabana Occidente, which is like 40 minutes from here. It is composed of 8 municipios.
Yeah.
It's really near. You can go there from for the 80, La 80, for the street 13.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of culture and all the story of the trains that used to go across that that part. And then you have El Tablazo, Cerro El Tablazo, which is like a kind of mountain. It's one of the highest points in this part, and when it's not cloudy you can see like the whole savanna. So there are things to do, but usually people, what they do during the weekend, they go to Chía to eat.
To eat, or of course they go out to their fincas as well.
Or to the fincas as well, but tourists don't have fincas.
No, this is true. This is true.
So I think that there is a thing here with the product. You know, they have to develop product for Bogotá. They have to decide what they are. They are cultural nature. Well, they are not nature, but you have nature around Bogotá. The weather is a problem as well, so we have to be realistic. I remember when I arrived here, like I tell you, 4 years ago, was the La Niña.
Yeah.
You remember?
Oh, very well.
Very well, very well. So it was raining like...
All the time.
All the time, so you couldn't even think about developing tourism in a place where it was raining all the time. So the only thing to do was to go to the shopping mall.
And that's true, and but you see that. You go on a weekend, let's say, for those of us who stay in Bogota, because I don't have a finca.
Me neither.
Those of us who stay in Bogota, if we go, like if I go plan to go to the cinema or something, it's so full. I mean, the shopping centers, the shopping malls here, just full. It seems to be like a social gathering point for everyone. Mm-hmm. Would you say this reflects on a certain... like an atmosphere of security that a Colombian gets when they go to a shopping center because of the troubles in the past?
Yeah, maybe yes.
Okay,
yes. Because for us, for me, it's, it was hard to understand because I like walking around. Well, when I arrived here, I'm used to walking.
Yeah.
I mean, I walk everywhere because, well, transportation is complicated, and then you have the famous trancón. So I try to avoid that, and I prefer walking. And when I was telling people from here that I walked like 10 blocks or 20 blocks, and they were like, why?
Why?
Take a cab. And I was like, I'm not going to take a cab because you told me that I have to be careful and this and that. So... I think it has to do with their past, which we don't share. So
of course, you come from Buenos Aires, I come from London. It's a very different history that we have to that of a Colombian. And of course, there was the very real fear and risk and threat of, let's say, kidnapping or murder or robbery or anything. But now it's not so bad. One of the things is I love to walk and walk around and, you know, walk my dog or whatever. It's not an easy city in which to walk because the pavements are so bad. I mean, because, you know, I want to sort of tell people, well, you should walk around this area, walk around that way. But rather than looking at the buildings and the architecture, they're worried about falling in a hole or something. You know,
so. Well, I can tell you in Buenos Aires is even worse, so I can't complain about that.
Okay.
For me, that's fine. Yeah. I tell you because I compare to my own country. But I think there are a lot of things to do in Bogota. There are a lot of people coming and there are a lot of people staying. And I think it has always to do with who you are with and your own, like, investigation or research about, okay, what can I do? Or, for example, this weekend that is the theater festival.
Yeah.
So you have, like, a really wide... there is a wide option of companies who are coming. So I think there are always things to do. It's only that you have to find out.
Yes, it's something that's growing. I mean, I know that the institutes and the entities here for tourism are working on this and trying to create a destination of Bogota. And this is positive. But how would you say? I mean, you've traveled extensively in Colombia.
Yeah.
How would you say that Bogota compares to other cities, major cities here in Colombia, in terms of its tourism?
Well, as you said, Bogota is like a mandatory destination because everybody arrives here. So when they are telling, I was looking at some statistics a couple of days ago, and it was written that half of the tourism, 52% of the tourists that arrive in Colombia, they arrive to Bogota. Mm-hmm. But as you well said, how many of them are they really staying or just going to Cartagena to take a cruise, or going to San Andres, mm-hmm. or whatever. Compared to other major cities like Medellin, mm-hmm. Cali, well, like the most important cities,
yeah.
I think it's fine. I mean, it's a capital city. You yeah. can't beat that. Mm-hmm. You can't beat that. The problem is that there is no product.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I how I feel it.
Yeah, I think there's no sort of overriding brand for Bogota yet. You know, you can have one section as sort of health tourism, another section cultural tourism, and they're trying to push natural sort of extreme tourism like hiking and mountain biking. But then it's it's a very small market. It's not as big as everyone thinks it is. And so it's an interesting, let's say, conundrum. It's a riddle that that those people who are in charge here will have to undo. But you know, we can only as foreigners, you know, really talk about what interests us. You know, but
exactly.
You and I live here. It's a different story. I stay the weekends here. I find the weekends to be great. So you know, I'm not as active as I may have been in the past. You know,
that's normal.
Yeah. If you are, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of salsa clubs. There's always live music somewhere. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you don't have anything better to do, of course, there is the shopping mall.
Yes, and then you have like La Ciclovia during the weekends. Mm. So I think that's very nice. People are very active. And, well, I was telling you about this project in Sabana Occidente. It's very interesting mm-hmm. that the IDT, which is el Instituto Digital de Turismo, is the tourism bureau for mm-hmm. Bogota. They are developing tourism outside mm-hmm. Bogota as complementary product
mm-hmm.
because they are thinking not only about tourists, they are also thinking about the people who live here.
Yeah.
So
which is key, which is, I mean, the mm-hmm. Colombian market is massive.
Exactly.
And I think that's very important. And of course the international tourists, not only just to land in Bogota, but it's to spend some time and some dollars here in Bogota. Some pesos, better said. But we're talking to Lorena Wasserman about the tourism, about tourism here in Colombia and the products available in Bogota. And we'll be right back after these messages. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Kathleen Petticord and Leif Simon with the Live and Invest Overseas Minute on the Overseas Radio Network. One of the most important decisions you face when planning for a move to another country is to do with health insurance. This is a very personal decision with big implications. The first thing to understand is that, with few exceptions, your U.S. health insurance and your U.S. Medicare are not going to travel with you beyond U.S. borders.
But you can find very good and very affordable options for obtaining health insurance in another country, whether you're retiring there or living there, depending on where in the world you're thinking of settling. In some countries, in fact, you can find full local coverage for as little as $100 or less a month.
The alternative would be an international policy. That is, international health insurance from an international health insurer. The critical difference between an international policy and a local policy is to do with geography. A local policy covers you only locally, only in the country where you purchased it, or in some cases, only in particular regions of that country, or only at particular medical care facilities or hospitals. For more information on making the leap overseas, visit us online at liveandinvestoverseas.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Richard McCall on Colombia Calling, here in Bogota with Lorena Wasserman, who is an Argentine living here. She's a porteña, sorry, start that again. She's a porteña living here in Colombia. She's been here 4 years, and she's an expert in the tourism industry. And we've been talking about the sort of the product, the necessity of a brand for Bogota. And, you know, things are improving. Things are getting better. You know, this Colombia was never a... Well, as we always say, Colombia has been divorced from the idea of international tourism for a very long time, 30 years, for obvious reasons. But now things are changing. And the, let's say, the national product, the Colombia as a whole, has so much more to offer. You know, if you had come 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, the only thing was land in Bogota, go to Cartagena. But now... you're incredibly well traveled, so perhaps you could share with us a few of the newer places that can be visited here in Colombia.
Well, one of the I think, one of the most incredible places. I haven't been yet, but I should go in the near future. It's Caño Cristales.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the main destinations. And if you remember the new campaign, Magical Realism,
mm-hmm.
they are even promoting that part. It's this for people who has never heard about it. It's a river. It's a seven colors river. It's you can visit it during a certain season from June to December, October, yes, November, December, and then you can see the river, the bottom of the river. It's it's of many colors. This place you couldn't visit it like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. or even 3 years ago, because it was like quite dangerous. So I think that place is like incredible. La Guajira, this is the border with Venezuela. You have Cabo de la Vela. You have these incredible places with sand, beaches. It's not a sand and beach destination because it's mainly cultural. You have there the Wayuus, which are like the local people from there. So you can share their experiences and their ceremonies. You have San Agustin, then there you have like all the archaeological part of the country. Well, Eje Cafetero, where you can participate in the coffee harvest. Sunsets in Santa Marta, which are incredible. Even they are reinventing some destinations. For instance, Santa Marta, it's a classical destination, but now they are developing everything around Tayrona. So it's not only going to the beach and just stay there for like 7 days, as Colombians used to do, but going to Taganga or all these hidden places in the Tayrona Park. Well, then you have like the classical destinations like Medellin, Cartagena. I'm trying to think about other places that really... Well, I love Tatacoa Desert.
Uh-huh.
I think that place is incredible. It's in Huila. It's like 3 hours from San Agustin. There you can do one of the best experience I had here. It's like the astronomy. I don't know if you did it.
No.
Well, at night, like at 7,
yeah.
You're in the middle of the desert and you can see the stars without any help. And as there is no light and there are no problems of sonority problems, you can hear everything and you can see the stars and even some planets. So that's an incredible experience. I think it has to do with experiences.
Yeah, I think Colombia would do well for a branding of like live the experience type thing.
That's a new campaign.
Is it?
The new campaign, it's about experiences.
Okay.
In fact, Magical Realism, that is the new campaign that has replayed The Risk is Wanting to Stay, if you remember. That was a very successful campaign and people still remember that because I think that the positive part, or that was like really an advantage, is that they turn a negative aspect into a positive aspect. Okay, there is a risk. We all know there was a risk, but the risk is not that you're going to be hurt. The risk is that the place, the country is so beautiful and people are so warm and you're going to feel so welcome that you will want to stay. But when they launched the new campaign, they were saying, many people complained because they felt like Magical Realism was like cold.
Really?
Compared to the previous one. And I don't know if you remember the country brand.
Yeah.
It was with the heart.
Yes.
And the new one is, the answer is Colombia.
Yeah.
So, but it has to do also with that it's not only for tourism, it's also for industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the thing about the risk was okay, but it was time to change.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's that they are still talking about risk, and that's it. You know, now let's talk about something positive. And what is more positive than García Márquez?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
So we've gone from, but it's amazing, really, because we've gone from Colombia's pasión, so Colombia's passion, through El Único Riesgo Es Que Quieres Quedar,
so campaign,
the
yes.
only risk is wanting to stay, and now we're in Realismo Mágico, so magic realism. It's a real, it's an evolution of the brand,
definitely,
isn't it? I mean, what would you say could be the next brand?
Well, I hope this one is going to last, because they launched it like a year ago, so it takes time. But I think it's very positive what they are doing. You can see the brand everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to travel and see other countries develop their country brand. You know, now we are not talking anymore about only tourism brands.
Mm-hmm.
Brands have to be useful also for industry, like for exports and to attract investments as well. So I think that's why the brand is not so personal anymore. If you remember, it was like a heart, but it reminded also of like a woman's shape.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
And now the answer is Colombia. It's like, are you looking for a place to invest?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for a place to go on holidays? The answer is Colombia. So I think it's fine. I mean, I think the job they are doing is I like it.
It's not an easy job. I mean,
It's a really hard job. And you know, the problem is that everybody has an opinion. It's like in soccer.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about soccer.
No, we're not going to talk about the World Cup because
we're not going to talk about that because
I'm going to do an interview on that another time. But
that's another. It's like another conversation.
Oh yeah, very much so. We've got too much history there.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
But so, I mean, you explained, Lorena, a little bit about certain places. I have had the opportunity to go to Caño Cristales. It was incredible.
Okay.
I love San Agustin, the Eje Cafetero, the coffee zone, La Guajira, I know, a couple of places I haven't been. But in these areas, in the recent years, I mean, there's been a major amount of investment. And the, let's say, sort of level of hotels has improved. I mean, has the government been driving, let's say, a campaign for investment and foreign investment in hotels, or is it the Colombians themselves?
Well, it's a bit of everything, you know. Colombia is an attractive destination for investments because people perceive it now like in a positive way, which was not like a couple of years ago. So I think it has to do a bit of with both. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I've seen that there are a lot of hotels now, like in medium cities.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like Bogota, Medellin. Okay, they are okay.
Yeah.
You've seen here in Bogota, they are building hotels everywhere, like.
Yeah.
Near like the Parque de la 93, in only one street you have like four hotels.
That's true.
You know, 93.
Yes.
You know, it's like four hotels in like four blocks.
They're not huge hotels either.
No. Like 80 rooms, 80-100 rooms. So I think now they are going for like middle cities, which is a good strategy, which because you don't need. The competition is not so strong.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's good. It's good, but I think they have to be really careful, because otherwise we're going to have like an excessive of
hotel rooms.
Yes.
But I mean, when you say the middle cities, you're sort of talking about Bucaramanga.
Exactly, Bucaramanga. I was thinking about Bucaramanga, Jopal, Pereira. Yes, all these middle cities.
Well, I have a question there. When you just mentioned Pereira, which is in which state is that?
Eje Cafetero.
Yeah, it's in that coffee zone. When it's so close to Armenia and it's so close to Pereira, Manizales.
Yes, the three capitals.
They sort of cannibalize the tourism between them. How is that going to work out? As an expert,
I don't know. Frankly, every city has an advantage. For instance, Pereira has the airport.
Yes.
Because if you compare to the other airports, I mean, if you want to really get there, take the plane to Pereira, definitely. Then in Quindío, you have all the fincas, which you don't have in the rest of the places. And Caldas, which is Manizales, they are like, it's more complicated for them, but they are developing all the agricultural tourism.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to specialize in that part. But yes, the problem is, for example, that you have the coffee park and the Panaca you have in Quindío.
Mm-hmm.
So what people do, they arrive to Pereira and then you drive, like everything is near, they drive to Quindío. And yes, there is a bit of cannibalization.
It's a worry, that one. But what is so interesting now is that, you know, when I started out here opening up business and everything, I came in 2007 to live. 2008, I have my business. And I'd go and attend the tourism fair and the business meetings. No one was interested, really. Even there were some travel agents who'd be brought over by Pro Export. Pro Export is the sort of let's say, independent body to promote tourism and industry here. We can talk about that later. But a French travel agent sat down and went, I'm going to be frank with you, I can't sell Colombia. That was 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Things have changed. The only thing that we could offer 7, 8 years ago was Cartagena. But now travel agencies are pushing the envelope. I mean, I know there's one out there that's offering trips out into Casanare and into Caquetá.
the local, they hear about that, they're like, who's going there?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, locals don't dare to go, but foreigners do, yeah.
It's true. It's because, you know, when I say, I've been out to some of these places and people just look at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but of course.
Or why? Why?
Because at the same time, Colombia is not an inexpensive destination. It's expensive,
especially Bogotá. It's very expensive.
You know, and we've got prices comparable to you know, major cities in the world. And yet it would be cheaper for me in a lot of circumstances to fly to Miami and have an all-inclusive
than going in January to Cartagena, in December to Cartagena.
Exactly.
It costs the same.
Yeah.
A flight, you can pay $500 for a ticket to Miami and $500 for a ticket to Cartagena.
Which is damaging to domestic tourism.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's anyway. But we're going to come back to this point because I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're talking to Lorena Wasserman, a tourism expert from Buenos Aires here in Colombia. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. We're talking to Lorena Wasserman, Porteña. She's from Buenos Aires. She's been here in Colombia for 4 years. And she's a tourism expert. And we've been talking about various facets, various sides to tourism here, the brand of Bogotá, the product here in Colombia. But we were just touching on something very interesting in the last segment of the show, which was about sort of the damaging nature of really how much cheaper it is to travel outside of Colombia than it is within Colombia. And I mean, Lorena, as a foreigner here, one of the things that most impacted me in my first few years was how Colombians would all get in their car with the suegra, so the mother-in-law, the grandmother, the cousins, they would get in a huge car and just drive around the country. But it was something great because it was that's Monty the dog. But anyway, it was something great because they were reclaiming the country. And you were getting people that's going to untraditional, non-traditional sections and discovering and you know, sort of not being so afraid of Colombia as they had been in the past, obviously. But now, like we were just mentioning, it's easier just to come to Bogota, get on a flight, go to Orlando, to Disney World or whatever, for less money than it costs to drive around Colombia.
Yes.
I mean, it's just not a good thing, because the main Colombian market is to sell it to Colombians themselves, and not just the Colombians, the Colombian diaspora, so that they can come back and reclaim Colombia. But Colombian tourism and international tourism are two very separate things. Can you just explain a little bit?
Yes, well, you know, one of the things that shocked me when I arrived, as you said, were the prices.
Yeah.
Here, we have to think that during, like, many years, the only tourism they had was national. So it was good, because at least people were, like, traveling from one place to the other, and at least the hotels and the destinations were alive, even if they were, like, a small destination or, like, very, like... Not many destinations. Now they are receiving international tourism, but the problem is that they don't know how to treat them, because they think that, for example, and it happened to me that to be, I don't know, in somewhere like it was like 40 degrees, really really hot, and the water was cold in the shower. And when you ask where is the hot water, they said no, warm weather. Hot water, and I was like, and cold water. I'm sorry. I mean, even if the weather is like 40 degrees, I need a hot shower. I don't care. So this is one of the things. The second, breakfast. I understand, and it's really good that if you go to a place to get like the specialty of the place. Now what we call the typical dishes, it's perfect. But you always have to offer a second option, because not everybody is going to have like a soup with 40 degrees at 7 in the morning. And so these are the kind of things that, I mean, if you want to have international tourism, you have to adapt yourself. Because I was telling you that if you sell what you like, you're a great tourist. But if you sell what the other people like, you're going to be a great professional in tourism. So I think that's the switch people have to do. You know, they have to understand that not everything I like, I mean, if I want to do everything I like, I go on vacation.
Yeah.
But if I want to work in tourism, I have to be ready and I have to adapt to what other people want. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the click they have to do. That's the main gap I find between like being very, I mean, they were really doing well with national tourism, with domestic tourism, but now they have to learn how to deal with European Americans and the rest of Latin America. For instance, you can sell everything to everybody.
Yeah.
You can sell coffee tour to a Brazilian. You can sell, I don't know, Bogota to an Argentinian. But you can sell beaches to an Argentinian.
Oh, so they're,
definitely.
They're all up at the beaches.
Definitely. Because for us, it's an attraction. But, I mean, we are not interested in general, no? I'm talking an Argentinian who's coming here for like a week.
Yeah.
He only wants to see the Caribbean, the Caribbean sea. So... you have to understand what the other people... You have to understand the demand.
Yeah, this is it.
And adapt your offer. That's the secret.
And I think we're only just coming to terms with that here. I think really is like... because if you look up, so let's say, big national tourism agencies here, they're still very much pitching at... despite they're pitching at international things, but they're pitching with the same domestic product. They're not thinking... oh, you know what, you know, let's say, for example, someone from the U.S. is going to be far more interested in making sure of the security, you know, make sure they'll and authenticity then, you know, a European wants authenticity. Where, so perhaps they're not going to want panaca. They're going to want more a coffee hacienda.
Well, but, you know, when you go to the coffee zone, for example, when I had to go, I said, no coffee park, no panaca. I want to go to Salento. I want to go to the small towns. I want to really see. I'm not interested in an attraction park. I go to Disney if I want to see, you know. But I think it's changing. Mm-hmm. It's changing. But they still have to learn a lot about that. The other thing is that, that's another, it has to do with their history. Mm. If you are a Colombian and you live in Bogota, you are going to the coast and you're staying there, as you said, with the whole family, which is crazy for me.
It's
not a holiday, it's like hell. I hope my mother-in-law's not. Okay, so that's another thing. You go and you see these huge rooms. And they're like, I don't know, a room, and you're like, how many people here? Like 10 and one bathroom? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. And it's like, yes, because it's for a family. And I was like, even if I'm traveling with my family, it's not for me. That's one thing. The other is like the multi-destination. As what I was saying, if you're living here and you're going on vacations, you're going on one destination because you know that next year you will do it again. Okay? But if you're coming from, I don't know, Berlin, Amsterdam, London, or New York, this is your trip to Latin America, you know? So it's not, you don't have a second chance to come back. So if you're coming here, normally you're coming for like, because your flight took like 10 hours at least. So normally you're going to stay like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you want to see the whole country. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you're going to see just or Cartagena or Santa Marta. No, you want to see everything because this is the trip for you. Yeah. And this is the money you save for this trip. So this is what they have to develop, like circuits, you know, because people, itineraries, people are not coming for one destination. People are coming for multi-destination. And there is a gap there.
There is a gap there, and also the big problem, as always, is the infrastructure.
Well, definitely.
I mean, we're talking about the communication infrastructure, roads, even airports.
Well, it's not an easy country.
No,
it's not an easy country. Well, I remember when I arrived here and I asked how far was Medellin from here, and they told me for 400 kilometers,
which is nothing.
Which is nothing. So I said like 5 hours. My car, and they told me, no, you're forgetting the mountains, the hills. And I was like, oh, yeah, now you're right. But then the flight takes like 30 minutes. So it's a complicated country in that. I mean, I understand it's a disadvantage. It's not a country that you can just like travel around. Even me as a foreigner, I don't dare to drive in certain places because we are not used to.
Yeah. I drive around here. It's it's shaved years off my life.
I read about your trip from Pompos here. It was like an adventure.
Well, yeah, I'll make a reference to this one. We broke down 25 kilometers from Pompos, so then we got towed back to Pompos, and then we had to leave the next day to try and catch a flight from Barranquilla, which is 6 hours away. There was a strike on the road, so they were blocking the road, so we had to do an extra sort of big journey round.
Material for your writing.
I know. And then we were on the main highway from this town called Magangay to Barranquilla, and a truck exploded in front of us, you know. So it was like everything was happening. It was everything in Colombia you could get, but without the mountains.
It's just like a Murphy Law. But you know, I remember it was in I was traveling around the Huila, and the roads in some places are terrible, terrible. And it's weird because it's a main destination. It's an important destination. And I was with a local guide, and he told me that he was with a tourist, a group from Belgium. So he was apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry about this and that, because people were bumping, you know, all the time. And they said, listen, if we want highways, we would have stayed in Belgium. So for them was an adventure. I mean, if you have to go there every day, it's not an adventure.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. So it's complicated.
It's true. It's true. And I mean, it's I think that's something that people need to remember. I think that, you know, you're coming to somewhere else. You're coming to see something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's excellent to have spoken to you about these topics, because I think you really, you know, you clearly know what you're talking about. I mean, you give conferences in this. I mean, that's right. And you do capacity building. I mean, you're a pretty accomplished person in the tourism industry here. Now, if you want to stay up to, if any of the listeners out there want to stay up to date with what Lorena is doing, you can pretty much, she's very, very active on the social media, LinkedIn, and you can find it, Profesionales de Turismo en Colombia.
That's right.
She's got this group on there, and it's a big discussion about what's going on, new talks, you know, I mean, things that are of interest to anyone who's, you know, who has vested interest in the tourism industry. Now, I've got the final sort of ideas for you. We've talked about brands. We've talked about the difference between international and national tourism. Colombia is improving. We're both very much in agreement with that. And the offer here is spectacular, really. You just need to sort of mold the product and improve a little bit of the infrastructure. I'm not talking about super highways or anything.
No,
just making sure things are on, you know, work.
Exactly.
But if you were, you know, if you were to be put there, Lorena, you are now special advisor to the Vice Minister of Tourism. What would you say in that first meeting? In an ideal world,
With all the money possible.
How would you package and present Colombia to an international market? Let's say, for example, you're from Buenos Aires. To the people from Buenos Aires, how would you sell Colombia?
Well, as I was telling you, you have to think about the demand. I mean, all the demand is different. You have to segment, definitely. So you cannot go to Argentina or to Buenos Aires to sell them something that they are not, or something we have.
Yeah.
So you have to really, really study the demand. Mm-hmm. And then to adapt the product to this demand. As I told you, you cannot offer like a four days package to someone who's coming from the other side of the world, as well as you cannot offer like a 2 weeks package to someone who lives near here. So you have to really think about what people want and what they lack, especially what they lack. For instance, Argentinians, our beaches are really cold, you know?
Yes.
You know, they're really, really cold. We like them, but they are, I mean, you really have to be a real macho to get there because the waves and everything. So, we come here, it's like, oh, this is boring, nothing is happening, you know? It's so hot, I mean, we love this because we don't have that. As well as our Colombians love going to Buenos Aires, which is a cosmopolitan, multicultural city. So you always have to think in that sense, like to offer what the other part doesn't have. I think they are doing a really good job on that. They are doing a lot of training. You were talking about lectures and everything. I'm working with ProExport, and ProExport is doing a very, very good job taking all the professionals from Bogota, because the problem normally is that all the conferences and everything is in Bogota.
Yeah.
So if you are in, I don't know, Pasto or Sogamoso, you never get to that. So they are taking all the professionals. The subjects are very bright. We are talking about digital marketing, about law, because people don't know, about, for example, I'm specializing in product design, and we have people talking about sustainable tourism, cultural tourism. There are a lot of things, and it's like many conferences, and we go to the regions, and people really appreciate that, and they get the sense that they are doing something for them.
This is important because it's just showing that there is a more strength to the tourism beyond Bogota, because it's such a centralized country. But let's finish up. And Lorena, I've got one last question of you. And how do you see the future for Colombian tourism?
Well, you know...
Big question.
You know that the objective is 4 million tourism for 2014. Well, that one is not going to be attainable, of course. Maybe if they say that they will count the cruisers, but I mean that's not real. So
it's not a viable product, the cruise ship, to say that they visited Colombia, because they've got off the boat in San Andres or in Cartagena or in Santa Marta, you know.
And for 6 hours or 8 hours, which is nothing. So no. So I don't think they're going to attain that number, but I think they're doing things. I mean, they're on the right path. It's hard because all the other countries, you know, in this region, everybody has more or less the same. I'm laughing when they said, because here we have birds. I'm sorry, there are birds
everywhere.
From Colombia to Guatemala.
Yeah.
Okay, people are nice. People are nice from Colombia. I mean, more or less everybody has the same. The thing is how you sell it.
Yes.
So I think that the future is good, it's bright. I'm a positive person. I think there are a lot of places that are going to develop. People are talking about Colombia, which is good, and it has to do with all these promotion campaigns they are doing. There is like a buzz. There is buzz about the place. There are always these trendy people, really travelers who want to discover or to be the first to be here. So, you know, I've been to Colombia and it's great. And people are talking about that. And it's a bit of the hidden gem of of South America. And there are a lot of things to visit. And I think I'm positive about that.
It's going to go in a good way. Well, yes. Lorena, thank you very much
Welcome,
for your time.
My pleasure.
thank you very much for your time and sharing your views with us. It has been really interesting to hear this, because it's it's something to talk to a European, and it's something to talk to a South American, in truth. Mm-hmm. And so you bring a unique vision to the show, and thank you for coming on.
No, you're welcome.
So we've been talking to Lorena Vosserman, who is a tourism expert from Argentina, Buenos Aires. You've been listening to Richard McCall on Columbia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.